Down to Business, sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.
Now, you're most welcome back to the programme. Bobby here with you all the way till 12 o'clock. We're here in Electric Bar and Grill on the South Mall in Cork. We're having a splendid morning. And I want to talk about the official opening of the Irish Manufacturing Research, Ireland's first independent industry-driven research and technology organisation, took place yesterday, and they've created 40 jobs. One of the IMR's board members, perhaps more familiar to most of us in his former guise as the legendary stopper between the sticks for the Rebels. He's the former All-Ireland Hurling Championship winning goalkeeper and current Clare coach, Donal Cusack. He joins me now. Donal, you're very welcome to the programme.
Margot Bobby, tough Walter Roca Corky is kind of tea.
It's not often I'm kind of stuck for words, but you got me on that one. Well done. Mahan Farr. How about that?
Good man,
listen,
Bobby,
great to talk to you. And thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much for the invitation. You mentioned IMR. Yeah, I think it was a great day yesterday. Where the announcement of 40 new high tech jobs. In Racoul in Dublin. I think IMR is a collaboration between academia, industry and government. I think we're all aware that we're an island on the edge of another island at the edge of Europe, so we need to bring everything we can together and as much as possible work together as a country, and I think this is a perfect vehicle for all of those areas to benefit.
And you're right, Donal, in when you talk about manufacturing, like if we stop making things, you know, even if you bring it down to really simplistic, if we continue not to make things and import everything, and we only become services, and as we found out the hard way, you know, selling houses to one another isn't a good business model. We need to physically be making things, adding value and selling them on.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, Bobby. I remember about 10 years ago, there was a lot of talk about us moving into a service industry. But, you know, if you're not making something as a country, there's a very big danger that you lose your value. I think manufacturing in Ireland contributes in and around 24% of GDP. And I think it's critical that we keep supporting that area and keep promoting it. And I think it's critical that, you know, we've got a magnificent array of multinational companies in the on the island. We've also got fantastic SMEs, and we need to realise that those multinationals and SMEs can work together the benefit of each other. And going back to IMR, that's exactly the whole design of that structure, to bring all the best of all of those areas, along with the academic community, everybody working together towards the one goal. We know manufacturing is changing. We know technology is changing at a rapid rate, whether it be additive manufacturing, cobotics, right, the fourth industrial revolution. That's a challenge for everybody. And, you know, be you working for a Johnson & Johnson or a Pfizer or an Intel, very much a lot of the same challenges that you're facing can often be the same as an SME.
You've been working for Johnson & Johnson for 15 years now. You say you served your time as an electrician over the road here. Just in terms of keeping the day job going and keeping your own, I suppose, career ambitions going in parallel with all the hurling stuff, which was obviously so wonderful, did you find that difficult, or was it did you have kind of two lives?
Yeah, I've worked for the Pusint Days now. It's a J&J company for 15 years, Bobby. I served my time to a man called Sean Ahern, just a couple of yards away from where we are here in Cormacus Street. He was a fantastic character in Cork and would have put hundreds, if not thousands, of apprentices through his hands. And I suppose it was, playing inter-county hurling, it is demanding, but it's also it's a passion, if you like. And, I think it can bring benefit to the person. I know from my own career, it was... you might go out on a Sunday and maybe play in front of 40 or 50,000 people, but if you're going into work on a Monday morning and facing all of the challenges that are associated with that, I think it brings a very good balance to your life. Sometimes it does maybe get a bit out of order. All right, I recall back in the mid 2000s, I went to a meeting in Ringaskiddy, and the chairman of the meeting was missing, and when that was asked for where was he, it was said that he was at the Munster final the day before, so he'd taken a day off. And I did start questioning myself at that point, all right, that maybe I'm getting the balance a bit wrong here.
Right,
but
okay. I was the only one who showed up for the meeting, and I was playing in the game. Wow. Yeah. And like, the... Do employers have to be somewhat tolerant in terms... Like, do they cut you some slack? I assume they do, if you're playing at a very senior level.
Yeah, I think the mature and responsible and probably forward-looking employers will realise that, you know, this is an important part of this young person's life. And also, it's a very healthy pursuit and a very, you know, a thing that can benefit their working lives also. And I was very lucky that I had really good people around me who... encouraged me to do my best on the field, but also encouraged me to keep an eye on the career. It's one of the areas that is of particular interest within the inter-county game at the moment. I think that there is a risk that young people, because we're so passionate about sport, we're so passionate about hurling and Gaelic football on this island, that a young person can tend to lose sight of their career and maybe go through their whole inter-county life, finish up, and then realise that, well, hold on a second here, the guy I started off or girl I started off working with have no progressed much further than myself. And I think that's why the Gaelic Players Association and the work that they're doing in terms of helping players to identify the things that make them great sports people can actually be leveraged off of the field also.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You had a heavy involvement in the GPA, and was that part of your reasoning to see that, you know, that maybe after a career that, you know, that you did as much as you could to safeguard those lads, that they, you know, that they might have something to go to, that they wouldn't have all this euphoria of 5 or 10 years playing great hurling at a very senior level and then almost find themselves on the scrap heap?
Yeah, it's a great point, Bobby, and I think that was, you know, part of the whole genesis of the GPA was exactly that. You know, it's a lot of these players, people see them on a Sunday and they'll see Cork and Tipperary players tomorrow, and they forget that they've got a day job to go to on the Monday. Yeah. And, you know, like I said earlier, the games are such games of passion, if you like, and we know love is blind, and it's easy for a young person to be blinded to the other parts of their lives. And I think that the more sport matures and the more we mature as a sporting organisation, people are starting to realise that, you know, if a person has their off-the-field activities under control, their actual on-field results are better also. He was part of a world players body, of which the Gaelic Players Association was the amateur representatives, and we would have met sports organisations and players representatives bodies from all over the world. And I particularly note the New Zealand Rugby Players Association at the time were very progressive in terms of taking that holistic look at the player, and I think that's something that's very important in our games as well.
And would you have been Donal Logue, would you have been an activist of sorts in terms of, there was a lot of hotbed stuff down here in Cork, player strikes, that kind of stuff. It was there a militancy there as part of that whole GPA thing? I mean that in a positive way.
Yeah, well, look, I think Cork people always have a history of resilience, but they've also got a great spirit of innovation and enterprise. And I think that, yeah, very much, we would have been, if you like, always had the bigger picture in mind, and always would have felt that there was an imbalance had come about in our games. You know, it's worth reminding ourselves that it wasn't the players that decided to open up Croke Park. It wasn't the players that decided to build Croke Park in the first place. It wasn't the players that decided to sell television rights to companies. Yeah. It wasn't the players that decided to put the names on the jerseys or to put the ticket prices the way they are now. And I think that, you know, we're getting back towards where there is a healthy balance, because there needs to be an organisation that watches out for these players and ensures that they are keeping an idea or a focus on their studies, on their work, because as we all know, you know, when you're in the thick of this, you might think it's going to go on forever, but an inter-county career can pass very fast.
Yeah. We heard Jonathan talk earlier about Leo Varadkar now possibly going to be our first gay Taoiseach. You were very outspoken yourself coming out in the GAA. Was it... When you look back on it now, was it as groundbreaking and revolutionary as we maybe thought at the time, or is it all a bit of not, you know, how do you reflect on it now?
I don't know. Was it that, Bobby? But I definitely think it was a good thing I could have done with my career. You know, I was playing for Cork was very important to me. Winning was important. But I also understood that it was a good thing that I could do. Mention of Simon and Leo. I think that if it doesn't happen now, I think Simon Coveney would make a great Taoiseach of the country in time to come. And maybe this mightn't be even the right time for him to win this battle.
Yeah. All right, let's talk briefly about tomorrow. Tipperary, Cork, Seamus Callanan is back. Tipperary got a bit of a hiding from Galway. Give us your tuppence halfpenny worth of what you think is going to happen tomorrow.
Look, it's a storied fixture, Bobby. I know from my own career, I think Cork are obviously underdogs going into the game, but I'm not so sure that'll be in their minds going to Turles. Cork have a great history of going to Turles and turning Tipperary over. Having said that, Tipperary are a fantastic team. I think Cork have five debutants, whereas probably most of that Tipperary team have All-Ireland medals and have All-Ireland medals at underage. But, I don't think it's the foregone conclusion that most experts predict.
Okay, there you have it. Donlough Cusack, folks. What a gentleman. Thanks very much. Well, up next, I take a walk down Patrick Street. Stay tuned for that.
Down to Business. Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.